Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask that you be gracious to each and every one of us, not only the one who speak, but those who hear. In those days, how you bless your servant Paul and give him the wisdom and so that he can write down the gospel and so that we know how to defend our faith. I pray that you help us to understand his writing and hide that within our heart so that in due time we can use the scripture to refute those who oppose us and so as to bring them to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to be wise in your sight and so that we be truly blessed by you in all the way, in all the days of our life, in all the way of our life too. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The more I read the book of Romans, I found out that the more I appreciate that Paul's writing, and I pray that as you hear, you're willing to spend more time to read that. And I, when I first come to know Christ, the book of Romans is one of the difficult books that I bypass because at that time, I don't eat solid food. I just eat milk. I'm infant. And I just want simple truth. And I read the four spiritual law and thinking that I know how to lead people to Christ with that small booklet. And as I grow into maturity, I found out that booklet is not adequate and is not prepared for each and every one of us to defend our faith. And from time to time, you hear the non-believers saying something to you. Sometimes you even buy into their disbelief, and I fall into sin too. I pray that as you hear what Paul has to say in the chapter 3 of book of Romans, and I pray that it will change your mind, that you're going to spend more time in reading it, know the truth, so that in the future, when your friends, your children ask you questions, you can use the Bible to teach them. Chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then is there in being a Jew? And the answer for that is in chapter 3. But then the next question is, what value is there in circumcision? The answer is in chapter 4. Unfortunately, we divide the chapter in this way. But in the original language, in the Bible, there's no chapter 3, there's no chapter 4. So, and in those days, the attention span for them is long. They don't just read one chapter. They read the entire book. I don't know about you. When I was young, when I watched video, I don't just watch video for 30 minutes. I watch video for the whole thing so that you know the big picture. In the same way, but now the attention span is so small. And so that's why I find out people are getting foolish and foolish. And they become a fool and they don't even know. And they thought, wow, make it simple. You know, their mind is so simple. So that's why Solomon say, let the simple forsake their simple way and turn around and be wise. Don't say that now the world is only attention 30 minutes or 15 minutes. You have to change in order to understand the Bible, especially written in the book of Romans. And then let's see. And then he say in verse 2, what advantage is there being a Jew? In verse 2, the Bible say, much in every way. First of all, the Jews have been entrusted with the very word of God. And that is the advantage. The Jews has been entrusted with the very word of God. I want you to write that down right beside that. Who else has been entrusted with the very word of God? Will you please turn to the book of Titus? Paul said that he himself has been entrusted with the very word of God. Well, of course, he is a Jew. Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time and at his appointed season. He brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. Paul saying to the younger pastor, the junior pastor Titus, saying that God has entrusted the gospel to Paul so that he can preach the gospel. Take a look at the First Timothy. I'm sorry, Second Timothy chapter 1, not First Timothy. And Paul said that now the gospel, the word of God, has been entrusted to the junior pastor Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. When Paul first wrote the book of Romans, he say, what advantage for the Jews versus the Gentile? Paul say that, first of all, God entrusts his word to the Jewish people first. And then Paul say, God entrusts his word to me, now to Timothy, of course, also to Titus, also to Dr. Luke. Take a look at another pastor. Pastor Jude is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. In the book right before the Revelation, take a look at what he say. Chapter 1, verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, a brother of James. Verse 3. Dear friends. He called them dear friends. He didn't just talk to the Jews. He talked to all the audience, both the Jews and the Gentiles. Although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to all the saints. Do I make myself clear? First of all, they say, what advantage for being a Jew? Well, the first advantage is God entrusts his very word of God to the Jewish people. And then later on, Paul say, God entrusted to me. Later on, he say, God entrusted to you, Timothy. Then the Jews say, the very word of God entrusted to all the saints. Does it make sense? Now, right beside the saint, you write down Romans chapter 1, because we are called to be the same. Do you remember that? So in other words, unless we go and study the Bible, we don't even know that the word of God has been entrusted to me, has been entrusted to you. But if it's entrusted to you, hold on a second. Anything that God entrusted to you, you abuse it, you don't use it, he's going to hold you accountable to that. Does it make sense? Okay, so I was a fool before I found out that the book of Romans You need to put on the thinking cap in order to understand it. I just want to understand the simple truth. I'm a simple-minded people, and that's no good. I don't even know. Until I grow into maturity, I eat solid food. I put on a thinking cap, and I think about what the Bible say, why it's saying what it's saying. Then I got the truth. Okay? Right beside the saying, you write that down. Chapter 1, verse 7. To all, this letter is written to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. So, now the word of God has been entrusted to you. You have no excuse saying that, I do not know the word of God. So I tell you how to pray to God. Since the word of God has been entrusted to me, because you call me to be the saint, now I want to understand that. But I know that when I read the scripture, a lot of the portion of the scripture, I don't understand. So that's why I use the Bible verses as it is recorded in the book of James. I show you how to pray about that, so that you turn from your simple way and to become wise, and so that you have the deeper understanding of what God's word is all about. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But then, how do you know that you lack wisdom? Because the word of God is a testing stone. And you read the scripture, then you know whether you lack wisdom or not. Right beside lacking wisdom, you write down the Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 6. The mocker seek wisdom and find none, but knowledge comes easily to the discerning. When you read the scripture, do you find out that it's very easy for you to understand? But if you find out that it's very difficult for you to understand, that means you are a mocker. And you say it before God, God, I am the mocker that you're writing. Because I try to seek wisdom, I find none. I spend time in reading the Bible, I don't understand. So I want to follow the advice written by James. I acknowledge to you that I'm the one who lacks wisdom. That's why I ask you to give generously the wisdom to me without finding fault. And that's the way to face the reality. Unless when you open up the Bible, you read it, every verse that you read, every statement that you read, you fully understand. Then you are a wise man. Okay? Then you are a wise man. But I confess before God, I am foolish. I don't want to be foolish anymore. I want to have a deeper understanding of what you're writing, because you entrusted to me, I want to be a wise virgin and prepare myself to fight the good fight. I don't know about you. I give you one illustration. When you read the Bible, you read the Timothy, you read the Titus, Paul spell out to the junior pastor what is the qualification for being an elder, what's the qualification to being a deacon, what's the qualification to being a pastor, for being an overseer. You see all these qualifications, but if you are wise, you say to the Lord, Lord, when I grow to maturity, I want to be an overseer. I want to be elders. I want to understand your scripture so that I can teach the next generation. Then you are wise. I don't know about you. Some of the big corporation, they have a profile of all the VP, president, and they say, oh, he graduated from here and did that. He get this certification, he get this diploma. You read all the credential. What do you say? You say, these are the goal that I'm going to get. When I get that goal, even though the company do not promote me, I'm going to find a job that he's going to appreciate my qualification. You look at the profile, and you're going to say to yourself, is it difficult for you to do? Can you achieve it? If you say that you can achieve it, you will be a successful man. You're not going to be a fool. You say, oh, no, this profile is not talking to me. No, it's talking to you. I tell you one thing. The company, the corporation profile is speaking to all the clients. You say, look at me. Our company hire all the top-notch employee. When we give you the advice, we give you the top-notch advice. And if you see the VP have this qualification, you want to be promoted, and you don't have this kind of qualification, you are daydreaming, man. You are daydreaming. Even though you reach up to that position, you're not going to stay there for long. You may get fired. Okay? So you read the scripture. You see something. And you talk to God. You say, God, this is what I want. This is what I'm lacking. And this is what I want to achieve. Could you help me? And I think God will give it to you generously because you being upright before God. You confess your sin, you confess your foolishness, and you want to be wise. One more thing. Before I left the 14th chapter of Proverbs, I found out I like it so much. If you turn away from the simple way, then the Lord will crown you with two things. Chapter 14, verse 18, the simple inherit 40 that I don't want. But that's the fact, because I'm a simple man. I want simple message. I don't want to spend time in reading the Bible. You know what you're going to inherit? The Bible say you're going to inherit 40. But the prudence are crowned with knowledge. I want you to write that down. Right beside 14, 18, Proverbs 14, 18, the prudence are crowned with knowledge. I want you to write that down. The prudent also crowned with wealth. You write down 24. The wealth of the wise is the crown. In other words, if you are a wise man, if you are a prudent man, if you want to stay behind being a simple man, you want to grow into maturity, the Lord going to crown you with knowledge. The Lord going to crown you with wealth. 24. The wealth of a wise is the crown. That means the Lord going to crown you with wealth and with knowledge if you grow into maturity. Forsake your 40, okay? But the 40 of fool yield 40. Whatever the way you choose, you cannot say, well, I'm just dreaming. I want to be like that. And you do nothing about that. You do nothing about that. Eventually, you're going to yield 40. Do something about that, about your own life. Okay? Now, go back to Romans chapter 3, verse 2. Much in every way, first of all, the Jews has been entrusted with the very word of God. Now, I find out that Paul has been entrusted with the very word of God. Timothy has been entrusted with the very word of God. And all the saints has been entrusted with the very word of God. Doesn't matter whether you are Jews or you are Gentile. But now that I know it, because I searched the scripture, I found out that. Unfortunately, in verse 3, Paul said, what if some did not have faith? I say, I don't have faith. I don't believe that God entrusted me with the very word of God. So will then the lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? The answer is not at all. Let God be true and let every man be a liar, as it is written. When he make this statement, say God is truthful to all his promises, God is faithful to all his promises, right beside true, you write down Psalm 145, 13. You write down the second part. Because in the Chinese Bible, they don't have that. Only the English Bible has it. The Lord is faithful to all his promises. But people are lying. Men are lying. I tell you why they are lying, okay? Would you please turn to Psalm? chapter 15, verse 4. Who despise a wild man, but honor those who fear the Lord, who keep his oath even when it hurt. These are the person in verse 1 who may dwell in your sanctuary, Lord. These are the one who may live on your holy hill. In other words, whoever keep his oath even when it hurt, he is the one who walk with God. But let me tell you, there's no such person unless your life has been changed. People swear, but swear by falsehood. When it hurt, he say, no, I cannot do that. Okay? Have you ever seen any advertising in the airline? They're missing 10. You say, it's a deal. Let's say, assuming the ticket is $500, now all of a sudden become $400, that's a deal, right? Unfortunately, the advertiser missing the zero. He say the deal is $40. And then a lot of people click in and buy that. And later on, the airline found out that, I'm sorry, it's a misprint, it's a typo. I refund you $40. I can't give you a ticket for $40. You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay? Same as Dell too, you know, the computer. He say $100. Is that computer is $1,000. It's $100. People click, you know, keep buying it. He say, I'm sorry, I don't honor them. Okay? People are lie, okay? Lie all the time, okay? To the advantage, okay? Whoever keep the oath, even though when it hurt, that is the one, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ like that. Remember when Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Are you God? Are you son of God? He know that. If he say yes, then he will be crucified. If he say no, he rape him a few times, he get let loose, right? He say yes. Because he walked with God. Only one person is like that. That's Jesus Christ. Okay? We have to know that. We have to acknowledge that. He said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I don't want to deceive myself. So in verse 3, what if some did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? No way. I want you to write beside that. I want you to take a look at the story. In Ezekiel chapter 21, and then also in chapter 38, mention it twice. Not very many people take notice of that. And God say, if you want to save your city, the holy city, if you want to save your temple, if you want to save your house, and if you want to save your life, do this. When your enemy surround your city, and when you see they are besieged, what should you do? You open up the gate, let your enemy come in, and you surrender, and you will save your life. And that is what, I'm sorry, not Ezekiel, Jeremiah. And that is what Jeremiah preaching. When the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and that's how Jeremiah preached the word. And yet, in verse 39, when the leader heard that preaching, same as in chapter 7, when they heard that preaching, they say, put him to death. The people, the leader say that put him to death, that means they have lack of faith. They hear God's word, they lack of faith. They don't believe in it. They believe their own lie. Then what happened? In chapter 39, we know that God put him to death. Okay? Because God's word is faithful. Your lack of faith, your lack of faith cannot nullify God's faithfulness. Because God is faithful to all his promises. Whatever he say, he will do it. But whatever you say, you don't do it. You may as well submit to God. Job 22, verse 21. Submit to God, and you will have peace, and you will have prosperity, and you will have blessing. Submit to God and be at peace with God. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Do not oppose Him. Some people have lack of faith. They oppose God. And then they oppose Jeremiah. End up, they put to death. 39 is the end result. And then, this is what God preached through Jeremiah, 21 and 38. And that's the end result, 39. You see the end result? You say, well, I'm not going to follow them. Okay, keep going. Romans chapter 3. What's the proof that Paul used to say that God is true and man, every man is a liar? In verse 4, not at all. Let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written. When Paul made this statement, he didn't want you just to believe in his word. He want you to believe that what he say is come from the Bible, as it is written. So in other words, brother and sister, if you want to convince other people to save their soul, you make sure that you make the statement as simple as you can, and then you say, as it is written in the scripture. And then you show him, where does it say? What does it say? So that you may be proved right when you speak. When God speak, God proved himself to be right, and we are wrong. Secondly, when God judge, God proved himself to be prevail. Okay? We are loser. He's overcomer. When he judge, we know that. Okay? So, when we judge, you write down 39. Verse 5. Unfortunately, you know, when sometimes, you know, the subtitle, in your English Bible, in chapter 3, the NIV subtitle is what? God's faithfulness. Is that right? Is that God's faithfulness? Chinese one is 神是神的信心. No, it's not that. Because when you see that, you are misled by that. Okay? God did not just talk about God's faithfulness over here. Okay? In verse 5 all the way in verse 8, in verse 5 all the way in verse 8, talk about people who are lack of faith. When people who has lack of faith, that means where the faith come from? Right beside lack of faith, you write down Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Faith come from the message of God. The message come from the word of Jesus Christ. If you don't read the Bible, you cannot have faith. Because you don't have faith, then you use your human argument. Okay? I want you to write that down. Verse 5 all the way to verse 8, you write down the subtitle, human argument. So, when you notice that, you say, when you try to preach the gospel to your friends, your dear friends, you know what's the response? They give you what? Human argument. So that you're well prepared. Brother and sister, don't use the false spiritual law to preach the gospel. Because there's a lot of loopholes in there. But in that Romans chapter 3, he tell you what other people, how they oppose you. They're using human argument. They say, I don't buy that. This is not what the society is thinking, okay? And human argument not going anywhere. I want you to write that down. Write a chart, okay? We engineer love to use chart, you know, because when you write a report, you don't waste time of your supervisor, because he want to see. You know, when you can write a chart, then you prove yourself, you understand. There are two ways. The first one is the way of justification. justification. And then there on the right side, and then you write down another way, the way of condemnation. There are two ways. You say to yourself, which way do you take? Which way do you believe? Okay? Now, you write that down, chapter 3, 5 to 8. That's the way of condemnation. If you know the end result, where's the end result? The end result is their condemnation is deserved. Hey, brother and sister, if you know the end result, hey, you know what? You can argue all you like because you don't know the end result. But now you know the end result, are you still arguing? You are really, really simple then. Forsake your simple way. Don't argue anymore. Look at the end result. Tell me what's the end result. Tell me what's the bottom line. If I know the bottom line, their condemnation is deserved. I say, no way. Okay, take a look at the argument. Chapter 3, verse 5. But if our unrighteousness bring out God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say? That God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us? I want you to write that down. The way of condemnation is the one they have a twisted mind. They think God is unjust. But if you are in the right mind, you know that God is just. I want you to write a chart because it helps you understand. It takes me a long time to understand this, to make it in such a way that I understand it myself, and I hope that you understand it too. Okay? Right beside that, chapter 3, verse 5, what shall we say? That God is unjust? They think that God is unjust. But God proved himself that he is just. You write down 3:26. 3:26. And then 3:5. On the left side, you write 3:5. They think, the simple people, the foolish people, thinking that God is unjust. But the righteous people, the wise people, the prudent people, the Lord going to crown you with knowledge, the Lord going to crown you with wealth. And these kind of people, they think God is just. They prove that God is unjust. The non-believer, the one who has lack of faith, the one who don't read the Bible. But where's the one who read the Bible and understand the Bible based on 3:26? Paul proved that God is just. Okay, now I'm going to take a look and how did they prove and how did God prove. And the non-believer, the one who lack of faith, they're using human argument. You write that down. They write human argument. They thought through argument, I can win the argument. You may win the argument in the court because the judge didn't see everything. He based upon what you say. But in the future judgment of Jesus Christ, you cannot argue because he showed you everything you have done. You cannot argue. Okay? Take a look. What is their argument? They say, if our unrighteousness bring out God's righteousness more clearly, isn't it you try to prove to me God is righteous and we are wicked? You say, yeah, I'm a wicked. But my wickedness enhance God's righteousness. Then if God's wrath is upon me, then God's not just. I'm doing you a favor. Have you ever heard people argue, say, the one who betrayed Jesus should get a reward because he fulfilled God's will. He do God's will. Someone got to do it. I'm the one I want to do it. Right? You are a fool. Because if I remember, when I was young, I don't like to study. And my father said to me, you don't study? I give you a box, and then I give you some brush. You're gonna shine the shoes, okay? Then I say, well, I'm an obedient child because he wanted me to be a shoe shiner, and I want to fulfill his will. Lo and behold, and you go to St. Paul, Minneapolis Airport, you see John Lamb is there, shining shoes. I should get a reward because I listened to my father. Isn't there a fool to say things like that? Some people, they twisted their mind. They don't even know what is true, what's false. It's very sad. They use human argument. Secondly, it's the same argument. Then he say that God is unjust in bringing his wrath upon us. He should reward us. I'm doing you a favor. I enhance your righteousness. I make your righteousness more clearly. Okay? I'm advancing the God kingdom. And Paul say that I'm using a human argument. That is what the one who lack of faith making this kind of argument. But Paul say that in Titus. The one who reject the truth, you don't pay attention to his saying. You ignore him. You understand? If they reject the truth, you don't pay attention to what he say, because you will be led astray by him. Okay? You only buy in those who accept the truth. Because we can only submit the truth. We cannot oppose the truth. And then in verse 6, Paul say that certainly not. God is not unjust. If God is unjust, if that were so, how could God judge the world? No one want an unjust judge to judge you. You want you want to have a fair trial. You want to be judged by a just judge. Okay? Because if God is unjust, he's not qualified to judge people. And Paul proved that God is just. I prove it to you using Paul's divine argument. This is human argument. Paul using divine argument. He's using God's word to prove that God is just. Now, take a look. Assuming those people who are in the Old Testament, they sin against God, what do? Moses say, if you sin against God, if you are a king, then you bring an ox to the high priest, and then you lay hand on the ox, confess your sins, and then I'm going to slaughter the ox to take your place, and your sins will be forgiven. Okay? Because at that time, they don't know much about that. But then Paul say that. And especially the book of Hebrew, the author clearly spell it out. The ox is just symbolized. The ox without defect symbolized the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ was hung on the cross, this is the sacrificial lamb. This is the animal without defect. That is a perfect body. Jesus Christ is the only person that is without defect, without fault. It has a perfect body because God gave him a perfect body. Born in the flesh, not through Joseph, but through the Holy Spirit. And he born to be Son of God with a perfect body and to die on the cross. And Paul's argument is in verse 325, God presented Jesus Christ as a sacrifice of atonement to take away your sin and to take away God's wrath. Through faith in his blood, in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible clearly states that without shedding the blood, there's no forgiveness. He shed his blood on the cross to take away our curse and give us the blessing. He did this to demonstrate his justice. What does he mean by demonstrate his justice? Paul said that, I don't need your unrighteousness to enhance God's righteousness. I need God's righteousness to enhance his own righteousness. What is God's righteousness? If you sin against God, you got to pay for the price. But who paid for the price? The perfect sacrifice to pay for the price is Jesus Christ paid for the price. That means God demonstrate his justice. What does it mean? That means God is just. He demonstrates his justice on the cross. He presents Jesus Christ as a sacrifice of atonement to take, first of all, take away God's wrath. Secondly, to take away your sin. But what's the human argument? He said, God's wrath upon me is not fair. I do wicked thing. I increase God's righteousness to make his righteousness more clear. Is he poor? I'm no good. God is good. God said, I don't need you to do that. You know, if a son like this, the way that he speaks to the heavenly father, if he speaks to his earthly father, just like I give you the story, my father gave me a shoebox and then go, okay, you don't study, you go and shine shoes then. He said, okay, I obey you. I go inside shoes. I will be bad. I will be miserable. Will my father feel proud about me? No. If you are ashamed of this son, brother and sister, don't do things that to shame your earthly father. If you shame your earthly father, very likely you're going to shame your heavenly father. Okay? Human arguments say, my wickedness enhance God. Holiness, I should be rewarded. I don't need to change. Okay? Then Paul using the second argument, verse 6, certainly not. If that were so, how could God judge the world? If God is unjust, God cannot judge the world. He using second argument, verse 7. Someone may argue using another human argument. They love to argue. Brother and sister, prepare. When you try to share the gospel to your friend, even though a good friend, they love to argue. They thought, you know why? Most of the time, 99% they are successful. I tell you why. Because Christian, they don't know that. They are saints. They are entrusted with the very word of God. They say, it is not my job to preach the gospel. It is the pastor's job. So when they ask me question, I cannot answer. I don't feel shame about that. But not knowing that, the very word of God has been entrusted to you. Do you understand? The very word of God has been entrusted to you. Because God is going to use you to save your parents, to save your friend. And you cannot do it. Then he's going to hold you accountable to that. I want you to write that down. You may not know that, okay? I want you to write that down. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 16 to 7. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. If I preach it voluntarily, I will be richly rewarded. If I don't preach voluntarily, the preaching ministry, the word of God has been entrusted to you. You have to do it one way or the other. Paul said that, when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast. For I am compelled to preach, because the word of God has been entrusted to me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. That trust, because God entrusted to you with that word. Last week, I go to New York. That two person that I used to stay, when they have relative from Taiwan to visit them for already a month and a half, And don't even introduce that to me. Don't you know that I can save your relative? You know, I can't even stand it. I say, this afternoon, I'm going to go to, the afternoon on Monday, because after I preach the Sunday worship, I have to go to Queens, another place to preach to the Thai church. I say, I cannot come to your place on Sunday. Monday, I come to your place. And open the door for me. And then I go there and preach the gospel and lead two young gentlemen and lady to come to know Christ at the age of 26. Because I know the very word of God has been entrusted to me. I hide that within my heart. I know how to preach the gospel. I do my best shot, and he come to know Christ. Brother and sister, when I see him face to face, whether he believe it or not, when I die, but one thing I do know, I discharge my service that was entrusted to me. I did my job. Everybody say, should we do that? Should we do it? Okay, keep going. Then someone may argue, if my falsehood enhance God's truthfulness and so increase his glory. You know, these kind of people has a twisted mind. If he do things wrong, by doing things wrong, he think that he can enhance God's truthfulness and then can glorify God. You make God feel ashamed of you. How can you glorify God with that? You cannot even glorify your earthly father. How can you glorify God? Okay? But people love this kind of argument. And then I read that to you one more time. If my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, why am I still condemned as sinner? In other words, his argument is God's wrath upon me because of my unrighteousness is not fair. Secondly, he say, I'm condemned as sinner. That's not fair. Because I'm doing God's job. You're not doing God's work. Okay? Verse 8. Why not say? What did he say? Let us do evil that good may result. You do evil, evil will result. You do good, good will result. You don't do evil and then good will result. Oh, man. Psalm 18, 25 to 26. To the faithful, the Lord proved himself to be faithful. To the blameless, God showed himself to be blameless. To the pure, God showed himself to be pure. To the crooked, God showed himself to be true. You do wicked thing, you don't have a good result. You do wicked thing, you think that you have a good result. Your mind was twisted. Using human argument. But you know what? When people use this kind of argument, Christian, they are not prepared. They say, wow, yeah, that's true. You know, next time, you know, when you met your friend, you dare not preach the gospel to him because he's wiser than you. Isn't it? Should we study the book of Romans? Oh, man. Let's go in. Keep going. If that is true, if their argument is true, then why not say, let us do evil that good may result. And is that what Paul say? No. Paul say, this is not what I say. This is what you say. Okay? This is what you really mean. As we are being slanderously reported as saying, and as some claim that we say that. We don't say that. You say that. Because when you make the statement, unfaithfulness, your unrighteousness enhance God's righteousness, your falsehood enhance God's truthfulness, that means what you're saying is, you do bad thing, then you have good result. No, you are deceiving yourself. That's not what the Bible says. You reject the truth, then I pay no attention to what you say. Okay? Now take a look at the end result. Their condemnation is deserved. You can argue whatever you like. The end result is you are going to the way of condemnation, the way of death. Say whatever you like. Okay? The end result is you will be condemned by God, and God's wrath is upon you. Okay? Now, take a look at what is the way of justification. I show you the way of justification. First of all, in verse 9, all the way to verse 20, you confess that you are a sinner. The way to justification, step number 1, confess your sins. Acknowledge that you are sinful man, number 1. Secondly, open your heart and ask Jesus to enter into your heart. Step number 2. Then you write down verse 9 all the way to verse 20, you confess your sins. You acknowledge that. Starting from verse 10 all the way to verse 18, point to me that I am a sinner. This is what I have been doing all the days of my life. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I confess my sins. Okay? And then verse 19 to 21, verse 19 to 20, you confess that you are not righteous in God's sight by observing the law. You have no ability to observe the law. You acknowledge that. Unfortunately, the Jewish people, they think that they're holy. They thought that they observed the law. How? Because they are circumcised. Circumcised is only one of the law requirements. What about all other law requirements? Okay? What about all other law requirements? You violate the law. Okay? So you acknowledge your sin. Verse 21. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known. Right beside make known, you circle the word, and then chapter 3, verse 5, more clearly. The wicked people bring out God's righteousness more clearly by their own unrighteousness. And that's the wrong way to do it. The right way to do it is verse 21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known. God make it known by presenting his son as a sacrifice of atonement, to which the law and the prophets testify. Verse 22, the righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. No other person can save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you, can save all who believe. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you have no salvation. You will be condemned. The way to justification is to believe in Jesus. Open your heart and invite Jesus Christ to enter into your heart. Verse 25, God presented Jesus Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate God's justice, to demonstrate to you that God is just, because he punished sin in his son. He don't punish sin in you. That means if God is just, he will punish sin. But whether he punishes sin in your life or he punishes sin in the life of Jesus Christ. But he choose to punish sin in the life of Jesus, because in his forbearance, he has left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. If you sin against God in the Old Testament, he did punish you. He did not punish you. He punished the animal. But later on, then he punished Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice of God. So verse 26, God did it to demonstrate, to make clear God is just, to demonstrate his justice at the present time on the cross, so as to be just, so as to prove to us that God's way to prove us that he is just by crucifying Jesus Christ on the cross. On top of that, God proved that he is the only one, no other one can do that. He is the only one who can justify those who have faith in Jesus Christ. You choose to believe man's lie, the end result, you will be condemned. You choose to believe the word of truth written by Paul, the end result, you will be justified. God say, you are upright, you are just. I have covered up your sin already. You are good to go. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to understand when we preach the gospel, we will face a lot of opposition. That's why a lot of Christians, they give up. The reason why they give up, because they don't know that the very word of God has been entrusted to us. They follow the very footstep of the Jewish people. Although they entrust to the Jewish people, they don't study it. They choose to believe the rabbi. They choose to believe the teacher. They don't study it themselves. So that's why they were led astray. Lord, we don't want to follow this kind of footstep, because that is the way to be condemned. Because if we don't study the scripture, then we most likely we're going to use human argument and thinking that we are right. Help us, don't do that. Help us to use divine argument. Help us to understand God's word so that we know how to save ourselves and save those who hear us. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.